well, little friend. I suppose you might call that a curious blend, the monitor sound and our old theme. This is Dave Garraway. This is, get it all in now, boy, Sunday with Garraway on monitor, reporting to you the nation and the world and some people, too, and trying this whole new monitor thing on for size. At the moment, it's 41 and a half seconds past the hour here in the east, and that's what time it is, that you ought to know, or at least monitor thinks you ought to know, and I guess that's a good idea. I'm a communicator now, and for the next 2 hours, I'll be communicating with, among others, Marilyn Monroe. I wanted to get that in quick before I gave you the headlines. Here are the headlines of the moment from Detroit. Monitor reporters tell us there may be a break on the General Motors negotiations any minute, and we are standing by for that. In Buenos Aires, mounting tension, riots, and mobs, shouting, "Long live Perón, down with the Pope." Monitor goes to Buenos Aires for a first-hand report in a few moments. Out in the Far East, Britain's crown colony, Singapore, is in the grip of a threatened general strike of 70,000 workers. All army leaves have been canceled. And from Le Mans, France, a revised death list now down to 78. Those are the headlines. The on-the-spot details are coming up after I remind you that truck users really do go for Chevrolet's Task Force trucks. Task Force trucks by Chevrolet have the most modern V8 engine in the industry. Now, let's find out all the news, and for that, here's Ken Banghart.
Well, as a matter of fact, there's a big story south of the border, Dave. Riot mounting bitterness tonight down there in Buenos Aires, and we had expected to have a report direct from Buenos Aires from Bob Lindley. Jim, you have something on that.
Yes, this is Monitor's first brush with censorship. The word has just come in this minute on the circuit. I'll read it to you. We had expected to go to Buenos Aires. Our newsroom has just been told that your program is canceled, unquote. This was an Argentine voice. Our reporter, Bob Lindley, was not heard. We asked the reason, got a terse no comment reply. Ken, you have the details of the press story.
Yes, the story is that a mob of several hundred government supporters tonight routed with gunshot and stones ranks of Catholic churchmen standing guard on the steps of the massive Metropolitan Cathedral in downtown Buenos Aires. The mob, shouting "Long live Perón, down with the Pope," roughed up a few of the faithful in the street, burned a car in front of the adjoining Episcopal Palace, and smashed windows in the palace with a hail of stones. Some of the church's supporters apparently were hit by that barrage of stones, but according to this report from AP now, no one was seen to be hurt by the several shots fired. About an hour after the beginning of that riot, city firemen sped to the scene and dispersed the government demonstrators with streams of water. This outbreak only heaped more fuel on the 7 months-old church-state controversy in which President Perón has accused some high churchmen of trying to undermine his regime. That the church has denied. As Jim Fleming told you, we had hoped to get down there direct with a report from Bob Lindley, but we were told by some voice other than Lindley's that our monitor report was canceled. Now, Dave, Joseph C. Harsh is standing by in Washington, and I think that you have some questions for him on the upcoming arrival of the West German Chancellor Adenauer tomorrow in the nation's capital.
I do, Ken, that's right. Joe, as you know, Chancellor Adenauer will arrive about 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Do you think that Washington is going to try to persuade him to turn down that invitation from Moscow?
A categorical answer on that, no. The answer is no. For better or worse, the State Department and the White House have now taken their stand on the proposition that Adenauer and his government can be trusted to negotiate directly with the Russians. It's been Washington policy for better than 5 years, you know, to build a new Germany that can be trusted to be loyal to the West. Any expression of doubt or mistrust now would be fatal to the whole project. It could just drive Germany into Russian arms. Everyone here assumes, as a matter of fact, that Adenauer will accept the Moscow invitation in some form or other. Perhaps he won't go to Moscow right away, but the inevitability of direct negotiations between Moscow and Bonn is accepted as one of the new realities of these times. Washington couldn't stop it if it wanted to. All it can do is to proceed on the working theory that the new Germany we helped to build will agree to nothing which would injure the Western world in these talks.
Mm-hmm. Joe, do you think the State Department can get Mr. Adenauer to get the Russians to release East Germany?
Dave, that's a hope, but not an expectation. The thinking here is that these German-Russian talks which are coming up will most probably mean two Germanies for quite a while. The big difference from the past to the present will probably be that the Russians will treat West Germany as a major power instead of continuing openly to try to destroy it. They've recognized West Germany. That's what it amounts to.
Well, thank you, Joe. That's Joseph C. Harsh in Washington talking about the upcoming arrival of Chancellor Adenauer. Time now is 5 minutes after the hour. How many people would you guess are having a birthday this week? About 3 million, if you're not up to guessing at this late hour. That's fact. Chances are that one of them is somebody that you should remember with a gift. Let me remind you of a very good idea that you probably know about already. Send a telegraphic gift money order this year. Real handy thing. You can bet your boots it'll be appreciated by everyone. And not only good for birthdays, of course. Other occasions like weddings and anniversaries and new babies and medium old babies and, of course, Father's Day coming up, too. Gift money orders by wire are very easy to send from any Western Union office, any time and for any amount. And, of course, a personal message can be sent right along with the money. A telegraphic gift money order is just about the most convenient way there is to take care of the gift problem any time it comes up, and especially, may I add, while you're away on vacation.
Send it! Western Union, Western Union! Western Union, Western Union! It's wise to wire!
Today's sports, Jim Fleming.
Monitor's Sunday night scoreboard, National League. First game, Cubs won over the Dodgers by a score of 9-5. Second game in the eighth inning, Dodgers leading the Cubs 6-2. Giants defeated the Cardinals in the first game by a score of 8-3. Second game, all tied up in the ninth inning, Giants 5, Cardinals 5. First game, the Pirates 5, Milwaukee Braves 3. Second game, the Braves 6, the Pirates 5. In the first game, the Philadelphia Phillies 12, the Reds of Cincinnati 8, the second game postponed because of rain. American League. Cleveland Indians defeated the Yankees in the first game by a score of 10-2. The Indians are leading in the second game over the Yankees. No, they've won it. Final score, Indians 7, Yankees 3. Cleveland takes a pair. Baltimore Orioles 7, Kansas City A's 2 in the first game. Second game, it's in the eighth inning. The A's are leading the Orioles 3-0. Boston and Detroit postponed because of rain. First game, Chicago White Sox 1, Washington Senators 0. The White Sox won again in the nightcap, White Sox 8, Senators 4. Washington, the U.S. won the team championship in the $150,000 International Golf Championship. Three golfers, Ed Fergal of St. Louis, Peter Thompson of Australia, and Florey Van Donk of Belgium, tied for the individual leadership. Okay.
Monitor weather over the nation. Showers and thunderstorms in the upper Ohio Valley and western portions of the middle Atlantic states. Foggy weather with drizzle or light rain over the north Atlantic states. Elsewhere in the country, mostly fair weather except for some isolated reports of thunderstorms over the far western mountains. And that's the weather look, Dave.
And thus the world right now. Like I say, I'm trying on monitor for size tonight, along with all of you out there in monitor land. The head man here says if it doesn't fit, they won't let you wear it. So I feel pretty good about it. If you've been attending our Friday night frolics this past year, this is the new time for same now, 8 to 10 p.m. Sundays, that's Eastern time. The show will be the sum and substance, really, of our usual Friday doings, like Marilyn Monroe, who's dropping by in a few minutes. Things like that, you know, the kind of things we always do. Sure, we always do. I want to give you the full treatment tonight for Marilyn. I don't want you to think of us as... like the fellow who ran the lunch counter. You remember the fellow with the big pride in life that he could make any kind of sandwich in the world? You couldn't name the kind of sandwich that he couldn't make, I tell you. Except the wise guy came in one day, walked up to the counter and said, Buster, give me a whale sandwich. Real simple, just like that, a whale sandwich. Rye bread, a little Russian dressing, he said. And the lunchroom fellow, he looked him right in the eye and he said, Friend, I am not going to get out the whale just for one sandwich. Well, tonight, we're getting out the whole whale from Maryland. That's Nardart Van Dam from Chicago. He'll be along in a few minutes. This is a musical sound really as pure to America as jazz. He almost broke a wrist on that one run there. Monitor is bringing you at the moment the sound of the old steam piano, known more familiarly as the calliope, or even more familiarly as the calliope, or the calliope. This, today, is the 100th anniversary of that contraption, invented by Mr. Joshua Studdard of Massachusetts, who got the idea from train whistles. And he demonstrated the first one on a 4th of July picnic, found the idea so successful that he promptly founded the American Steam Piano Company. Would you believe it? Within 5 years, old Josh started, hadn't exactly spread the idea that no home could be without one. His calliopes, though, did sell for $11,000, full head of steam included. And one more thing about this anniversary, about the inventor of the calliope, Joshua Stoddard. He also invented the fire escape. Just thought you ought to know. We'll bank the fires in Radio Central here on our calliope while Monitor goes to Chicago and picks up the monitor and gorgeous music of the Art Van Dam Quintet.
Karaoke, done for you by Art Van Dam. And this is Tom Mersine returning you to old friend Dave Garraway at Radio Central, New York.
Old friend Tom, that's where we are. And that little scuffle in the corridor out there announces the arrival of a Miss Marilyn Monroe, who is our guest tonight. While I get my list of 500 questions I want to ask Marilyn out, I'll give you time to straighten your own tie and get your glasses clean. This is Garraway on Sunday on Monitor, going places and doing things. Take one. If you'd like to pull your chair up a little closer to the loudspeaker, I wouldn't blame you at all. If you'd like to get inside the set, I wouldn't blame you very much. There's going to be some very deep breathing going on here. Old friend Monitor and Garraway are host right now to the very likes of Miss Marilyn Monroe.
I wonder if I'm scared of you. Are most men scared of you? I'm not sure whether I should be frightened of you or not.
No, nobody's scared of me.
I don't know. I bet a lot of guys are scared of you, though, because you're such an institution now. Really, you are. You're a kind of a national possession. Do you feel that you belong to the nation as a whole?
I don't know quite what you mean by that.
I'm not
I
sure
live
myself.
Here.
That'll do it very nicely. I heard you were smart, but I didn't know.
I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Don't let me fool you. I'm not.
You know, you have a reputation as among the great mass of people, I think. It's probably the most beautiful blonde in the world, but a kind of a dumb girl because you're a beautiful blonde. And blondes and dumbness seem to go together. I think it all started with maybe with gentlemen prefer blondes.
You know, it's interesting that people associate, if you happen to have blonde hair, you know, naturally or mm-hmm. not naturally, however, or if you're not out of shape in some way, mm-hmm. you're absolutely dumb. I mean, you're considered dumb. I don't know why that is. I think it's a very limited view.
It isn't true, so I'm sure.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter what the person, mm-hmm. What they look like, what color hair they have.
Nonsense.
Or if they happen not to be out of shape. I mean, my time's to come. Gravity catches up with all of us.
Yes. Slowly, but I'm afraid inexorably, if that's the right word. I hear that you're moving to New York City to live. Is it so?
Yes. This will be my home from now on. Mm-hmm. That is until I retire. And when I retire, I'm going to retire to Brooklyn.
Really? Why Brooklyn?
Oh, that's my favorite place in the world so far that I've seen.
Sure.
I haven't traveled much, but I don't think I'll find anything to replace Brooklyn.
You're going to help our rating in Brooklyn about 9 points. Why is it Brooklyn? What happens there with you?
Well, almost everything. I just like walking around. Mm-hmm. I think the view's better from Brooklyn. You know, you can look back over and see Manhattan.
Yeah, that's the only place you can see Manhattan from your
That's
flight,
the
right?
best view, but it isn't only the view. It's the people. It's, I like the streets. I guess the people and the streets and mm-hmm. the atmosphere. I just like it.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you about the singing thing for a little bit. Who are your favorite people to hear sing modern music?
Well, my very favorite person. And I love her as a person as well as a singer. I think she's the greatest, and that's Ella Fitzgerald.
You fall right in the happy club. Who's your favorite man singer?
Well, frankly,
yes.
I have to say Frank.
Yeah, that's it. It's as easy as that.
However, he didn't used to be. It's the way he sings now. I know when I was a kid in, you know, junior high school and high school, and he was sort of Bobby Sox mm-hmm. idol. Even though I was in Bobby Sox, he wasn't my idol. It isn't until recently. I think his whole style and I don't know, there's something that's changed drastically.
He grew up big. He matured somehow. The sound that he makes now is such a big round.
Well, it's his style. To me, it's his style. When it comes to sound, I like Sammy Davis too. Mm-hmm. But Frank's style, you can't beat it.
Weather report. It say a front of warm air is moving in from
where?
Jamaica. Moderately high barometric pressure will cover the northeast and
where else?
The deep south. Small danger of
what?
Fruit frost. Hot and humid nights can be expected.
Hey, Vincent, 95. Guadalupe, 97. San Domingo, 99. Martinique, 105.
We're having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave. Temperatures rising, it isn't surprising. You certainly can. I started this heat wave.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
such a way that the customers say that I certainly can. Tropical heat wave. The way that I move that thermometer proves
she certainly can.
I certainly can.
Who are all those men I just heard you with? Is that a chorus of male voices?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How long do you think you'll be at the top, I wonder?
At the top isn't so important. What I'd like to do, that is what I would like to accomplish, I would like to be a good actress.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a matter of being on top, because I think some of the best actors and actresses perhaps aren't on the top. So that's not the thing.
I knew you were smart somehow.
No,
I
admit it
so many times. That's,
well, don't let me fool you. I'm not.
Well, you haven't learned to say that because you say it just at the right time. So I know that I'm sure of what I mean. A long moment when your career went where it is instead of someplace else. Did you go through a revolving door and meet somebody in it or turn left when you might have turned right?
No. Not actually. I modeled, and then I was under contract to Fox. They signed me.
Mm-hmm.
After 1 month, 5 magazine covers appeared, and they signed me. And then they dropped me after a year. I didn't have an opportunity to do anything, actually, during the year that I was there at 20th Century Fox the first time,
mm-hmm.
except one part in Scudder Who, Scudder Hey, and I was cut out of it, so you can't exactly call that a chance to do anything.
I bet so many people think that that must be an ideal year with nothing to do, just sit and take the studio's checks. And
really,
it's torture, isn't it?
It's very painful, because at least, although I knew I didn't know anything about acting, but I wanted to know and I wanted the experience, but, well, that's how it is.
Do you keep a diary, by the way?
No.
Did you ever?
Well, not exactly a diary. Sometimes, when things used to happen, I used to write it down.
Uh-huh.
But then, I used to tear it up.
Do you miss your anonymity? Do you miss being able to go out and not be recognized and go places? So that, as it used to be before you became famous, so no one would pay any attention to you except...
I'll tell you. I do in a way. However, I'm terribly grateful for everything that's happened, because I remember when things weren't like this at all. But you do miss sometimes just being able to be completely yourself and someplace, and people just know you as another human being.
I don't think you could get away with the gag I use. I have a kind of a disguise, a mustache and some trick glasses, and I part my hair in the middle.
Oh, I use a wig sometimes.
Does it work?
It has.
Marilyn, if the house you have caught on fire, what material thing would you run for to save first?
Some books.
Which books?
I'd rather not say. It's very personal.
All right, that's
if it's more than one book.
I knew you were smart all the time somehow. I'm just delighted to find it out for myself. Well, now, your success has been the, or close to it, the dream of every American girl, all right, I guess. After you got what you want, did you want it?
Well, the thing I like the most is to become a real actress.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I was a kid sitting in the front row at the movies on Saturday afternoon. And I would never come out of the movie. They'd have to come and get me, you know, I'd sit in the front row. and I think how wonderful it would be to be an actress and so forth. But I didn't really realize about acting, except I appreciated what I saw. Bad, good, it didn't matter. I enjoyed it very much, everything that I would see. It's anything that would move on the screen. However, I think I realize more and more the responsibility. And it is a responsibility, and as I say, I would like to be a good actress.
Well, I knew you were smart, like I said, all the time. I just want to thank you, girl, for coming in and making me confirm my own opinion, which I had from other people, but not to know myself in person. We'll unscramble that sentence during the following month. Good night, Marilyn.
Bye-bye. It's a pleasure meeting you.
You too.
And so it is. That wasn't so bad now, was it? I could have told you, Garway, there was nothing to be nervous about. She's just like any other girl in the world you should be so lucky to meet. Let the record show that Marilyn Monroe made her debut on Monitor at, well, finishing at 27 minutes after 8 Eastern time. That's the time right now, Gruen watch time. And if you've been calculating, you know that there are now less than 9,000 minutes until Father's Day. Chances are you didn't figure that out, but that's all right. As long as you get Dad precisely what he wants and needs. Buy him a Gruen this year. Gruen is the precision watch. Coming up shortly on Monitor is our continuing report from San Quentin out in California. We're going to hear the voice, the great voice, maybe the greatest voice in the world, I'm not sure, of Carl Sandburg. Which voice, if you're not familiar with, you should please stick around the next half hour. And we're going to have a little Les Brown walking slowly through the pasture here. Please, sir.
This is Monitor.
Half hour has come along, hasn't it? And so is some music coming your way for a few odd moments.
You had a plenty of money in 1922. You let other women make a fool of you. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Get out of here and get me some money too. You're sitting down wondering what it's all about. You ain't got no money, they will put you out. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Get out of here and get me some money too. If you had prepared 20 years ago, you wouldn't be a wonder now from door to door. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Get out of here and get me some money too. I fell for your jiving and I took you in. Now all you got to offer me's a drink of gin. Why don't you do right like some of the men do? Get out of here and get me some money too. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Like some other men do.
This is Sunday with Garraway on monitor. Here's a man with a few thoughts for us both.
Say, did you ever start to go up a steep hill and feel it flatten out like a pancake? Well, that's the kind of feeling you get in a new Chevrolet. It's Chevrolet's terrific V8 engine that does the trick. They call it the Turbo Fire V8, and there's no better way to describe it. It flashes with 162 horsepower. And if that's not enough for you, there's always Chevrolet's Super Turbo Fire V8 that packs 180 horsepower. These Chevrolet V8s have the shortest piston stroke in the industry. That means less wear and tear on the engine. They've got big valves to breathe better and give you more power. If you want to go when the light turns green, brother, just step on a Chevrolet accelerator. It puts you out front for keeps. Tell you what, see your Chevrolet dealer for a demonstration drive. You'll know what I'm talking about soon enough.
Well, roughly. If you've been with Monitor since we started at 4 this afternoon, you know that each hour we've been paying a visit to San Quentin Penitentiary. Right now, we're going back there to learn something of the parole board, how it works, and what kind of hope it holds out for convicts. We'll take you to Walter McGraw and to San Quentin Prison.
The long day is coming to an end at San Quentin. Now, more than any other time, a man thinks of going home, of getting out. In California, to get out, you must face the parole division of the adult authority. What's it like to face a parole board? Last Thursday, a young man, not quite 30, his eyes brimming, hands clenched, found out. The parole room here is sun-filled. Outside, there's a garden, birds, the Pacific. Inside, two members of the board, Chairman Walter Gordon and former warden Clinton Duffy, face the boy. Chairman Gordon speaks.
You are here because you're convicted of selling narcotics and for snatching a woman's purse. How long have you been using narcotics yourself?
I'd say about 8 years.
How'd you happen to start using narcotics?
I used to go nightclubbing, started in marijuana, started to meet faster people, jitterbugs, thought I was hip, then some musician, he was addicted to narcotics, introduced me to heroin. I took my first fix, liked it. To tell the truth, sir, I don't know why I started using narcotics.
If you don't know why you started using it, how do you know that you won't start using it when you get out of here again?
Well, after fooling around with it for 8 years and spending the best years of my life and wrecking my whole life, and there's no future to it as far as I'm concerned.
Do you think you're a weak person?
Not particularly.
I wonder how strong you're going to be in resisting. You're not sure yourself, are you?
All I could say is that I know I could do it someday.
Now, I don't doubt for one moment that you're sincere when you say you'll have the will to do without narcotics. But when you get out there and the pressure gets on you from former friends and associates, wonder then when you'll be able to say no.
Tell you the truth, sir, I never did associate with hypes.
Well, you don't necessarily associate with hypes all the time, but you may pick a friend just like that musician who introduced you to heroin, according to your own statement.
He grew up in the same neighborhood, probably a better person than I am. He came over here about 3 years ago. We did some time, and he got out on parole. He got married and settled down, and I think he did his parole already, and he's not using narcotics anymore. Yeah, I think he has a child.
I noticed you never married.
No, sir.
But you did have a common law relationship.
Yes, sir.
There again, you're not accepting the responsibility that one ought to accept. It's a loose way of living, a loose way of acting. Is there anything you want to say to us particularly today?
Well, I haven't. See, I signed up for group therapy, and deep down inside, the way I feel, I want to do right. I don't ever want to come back here.
Do you have any questions, Mr. Duffy?
You talked about group therapy. You were a confused kid when you came in here, weren't you? Now, when you go into group therapy, give it your all. See if you can find out what made you do these things. See if you can get to the root of it. So when you do go out, you can stay out. That's all I have, Mr. Gordon.
Is there anything else you want to say?
No, sir.
All right, we'll let you know.
The boy leaves the room. There's discussion. Former Warden Duffy summarizes.
He's quite withdrawn yet. He needs some counseling. He needs some therapy. And when we see him in a year from now, we can better evaluate his progress, which we hope he'll make.
Parole denied. From now, we'll eavesdrop on an amazing picture of democracy in action within prison walls. Walter McGraw reporting for Monitor in San Quentin.
I just want to thank Walter for the pickups from San Quentin he's given us today. Make history, exciting and informative as they were. If you heard the 5 o'clock one of the condemned man, you'll know what I mean. Monitor, in about a minute, is going to switch up to the Boston Common. Right up there, an old friend of mine named Carl Sandburg is receiving honors tonight. Hold fast while we tell you that this is Monitor, going places and doing things, take one. In Boston tonight, they're giving Carl Sandburg an award. It's the second Boston Arts Festival Award for meritorious contribution to American poetry. The Common, or I believe to be exact, it's the Public Garden, is crowded with friends of the arts and of that man. I hear that Carl Sandburg might sing one of his ballads, so let us switch up there. Right now, WBZ is going to pick it up for us. How's it going, Arch McDonald?
Thank you, Dave. At the Boston Arts Festival, more than 400 paintings, pieces of sculpture, architectural, and crafts exhibitions are housed in long awning-like tents along the banks of the Public Garden Lagoon. By the time the 16-day program ends next Sunday, 750,000 people will have visited the colorful scene. Carl Sandburg has just been given the 1955 Boston Arts Festival Poetry Award for a continuous meritorious contribution to the art of American poetry. He was introduced by Archibald MacLeish, and as we join Mr. Sandburg on the Lakeside stage, he is speaking informally to a large and appreciative audience.
Somehow they managed to develop intricate, beautifully sacred personalities, wide-ranging personalities, without these media. I'm not saying they don't occasionally deliver priceless material, but that's only a small percentage. And among the young people, there's the danger always of letting these devices waste their time. Good old Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr., that great Bostonian, sometimes used to go along for months without reading a daily newspaper. Somehow he managed to know what was going on in the main and connected with his duties without looking at a daily paper. The movies! I meet a college boy a while ago. Told me he goes to 2 or 3 movies a week. I said, you pathetic squirt, you. I said, 1 a month is enough. They don't produce 12 good movies a year. Out of all of their efforts, no one can point to one great, fine propaganda picture of America made to be sent abroad as an ambassador of goodwill for this country. The predominant motivations in what Hollywood sends abroad to tens of millions of people: violence and sex, the two themes most often there. Violence and sex, and sometimes a good laugh maker. Abbott and Costello are good, but they don't tell the world what this country is about. TV. I saw a few Sundays ago a half-hour biography of Henry Adams, that great Bostonian. And though I have read his own autobiography, The Education of Henry Adams, and though I have a book of his letters, that half-hour biography on TV, as written and arranged chiefly by the historian Alan Nevins of Columbia, told me more about this great Bostonian and the strange wisdom that he was possessed of, and the fascinating prophecies that he made while he lived. Along in the late 1850s, the leader of the American bar, Rufus Choate, sat in a box at Opera in the Italian language in New York. His daughter was proficient in the Italian language, and he made the remark to her, "Interpret for me the libretto, lest I dilate with the wrong emotion." "And I would like to interpret for you, if I could, or I would like to point for you to two or three great poems that interpret for us the libretto of the modern scene. Of course, never anything like it in the world before."
And that's our brief glimpse at the Boston Arts Festival from here, Dave. You've been listening to Carl Sandburg, who has just been given the 1955 Boston Arts Festival Poetry Award, speaking from the scene of the festival. This is Arch McDonald, now back to Monitor in Radio Central New York.
A man that you and I could listen to for a good many hours and still be fascinated. That was Carl Sandburg speaking at this moment, as he is on the Boston Public Gardens adjacent to the Common in the beautiful city of Boston. Man almost sings instead of talks, doesn't he? Sorry he didn't play his guitar for us a little tonight, but he has a speech to make. Right now, well out someplace over the Atlantic is TWA Flight 860 bound for London. If you were watching earlier or listening earlier tonight, you saw that plane ready to take off from Idlewild Airport. It's TWA Super Connie. Throughout the evening, we've been checking in via our special radio transmitter aboard this plane. Sometimes this is tricky business, so let's see what happens. Go ahead, Jim Cahill, with a monitor report from Flight 860.
This is Flight 860. The monitor in New York. We're flying at 311 miles per hour, still at 17,000 feet, and we're 1,120 miles from New York City. We have with us tonight Mrs. Fred Perry, whose husband won every tennis championship worth holding back in the 30s. Mrs. Perry, have you ever flown the Atlantic before?
Oh, yes, this is my 8th cabin. Oh, my, TWA, the finest airliner.
Thank you. Why are you going to London, Mrs. Perry?
Well, I'm
going to
show my husband over there, who's supporting all these matches from Wimbledon, and they're all for the London Evening Standard.
And then what are
your
plans? Where are you going next to London?
Well, after that, we're
going to
travel on the continent or over Europe for 3 months, and I have some sportswear business.
Your son, David, is traveling with you. I suppose he's quite a tennis player.
No, as a matter of fact, he doesn't like tennis at all. His great love is baseball.
Well, that's a switch. That'll be like telling him that Joe DiMaggio's son is a tennis player.
Jim?
Okay, Monitor, here we come back to you.
Jim, aren't you feeling kind of lonesome up there, a couple, 3 miles over the Atlantic, way out in the middle?
Oh, I've got plenty of company. We have 27 passengers and crew members, and it's quite a cozy group.
Can you see the sea down beneath you there?
What's that?
Can you see the ocean down beneath you?
No, it's just about dark now. All we can see is reflections on the clouds.
Are you now past the point of no return, Jim?
I think we are not yet.
Well, bon voyage then, and press on. Good to hear from you, and we'll call you in about an hour, Jim.
Thank you.
That was Jim Cahill aboard TWA 860, bound at this moment for London, approaching the center of the Atlantic right now. Music time on the show for a few minutes. I have a most delightful new record. Came out just a little bit ago. It's of a Cole Porter tune, which was kind of lost in the production of Can-Can, but I'll just bet you this is going to be a standard tune, especially among nightclub singers for lo these many generations to come. It's an opening tune, and good up opening tunes are awfully hard things to find. You notice how singers have latched on to Cole Porter's From This Moment On, because it's a fine opening tune, too. This one is done in a trombone quartet with two famous trombones, Kay Winding and J.J. Johnson. In fact, the record is called by Kay and J.J. And the tune that I've been speaking so much about, which I think we ought to hear right now, is, what is the name of it, anyhow? But it's all right with me.
Thank you.
That may be as much trombone as you care to hear in one evening, but it stands rehearing, that special one. It's from a new album called K and JJ, the K being Kay Winding and the JJ being JJJ, really JJ Johnson. There are a lot of other fine things in that new album, just out a little bit. A great deal less than 9,000 minutes till Father's Day right now, I want you to know. This year, why don't you give Dad exactly what he wants and what he needs? Give him a Gruen, because Gruen is the precision watch. The hour, I see, is about to be sounded shortly. We're going over to Paris in the next hour, visit with an old friend named of Art Buchwald. Art is an essayist. There aren't many essayists left in the world today. You could name the leading essayists on the fingers of one hand, I guess. But he'll turn in one with an old friend of ours named Al Capp. And the news is coming up. We're going to visit a church down south. We're talking to the Liner Constitution just off the Azores. And in less than 60 seconds now, Monitor reports the nation to you and the world.
This is Monitor, the new NBC radio service.